What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to Clown Questions, the show where there are no dumb questions. I'm your host, Matt K. Maurer, and today I have an interesting question. Are the Steelers tanking? I'll attempt to answer that question in addition to some other questions. No guests today, but we got First Year Interruption with Greg Popovich. Can't believe I forgot that name. Goosebump Moments of the Week. And I'll give you my Cheaters Semis picks. So good show for y'all today. Who's down to clown?
That's a clown question, bro.
So are the Steelers tanking? I think they might be, which is obviously unfortunate. Unfortunate if you're a Steelers fan, resident Steelers insider, a.k.a. my brother John Amauer, is beside himself, as he should be, because they traded away an incredible talent. If you hadn't heard, the Pittsburgh Steelers traded George Pickens to the Dallas Cowboys in exchange for a third-round pick and a pick swap. So they didn't really get much back. They got a third-rounder, and I think they upgraded one of their sixth-round picks to a fifth-round pick. So it really doesn't seem like they were doing this trade for value. It seems like they were kind of doing this trade to get rid of Pickens before, I guess, his rookie deal will be up at the end of this year. But I don't know. I guess they didn't want him for that last season. Everyone thought, all the Steelers fans are really excited about, we were lacking wide receiver talent last year outside of George Pickens. Now we got one of the better duos in the league. We got DK Metcalf and George Pickens. Well, now that duo is DK Metcalf and Calvin Austin, Robert Woods. I don't know. Cordarrelle Patterson, is he still on the team? Obviously unfortunate for Steelers. I'd be pissed as a Steelers fan. I remember when the Packers traded Davante Adams. I was on spring break in Nashville, but I was beside myself. I don't know. I was able to get over that. I don't think Steelers fans will ever get over this. I feel for my brother because he just bought a George Pickens jersey. That's his favorite player. A lot of people's favorite players. But now he's on the Cowboys, which is interesting because I wanted to save this for Nemo and the Clownfish, but I don't know when we'll get our next episode in. But basically, I wanted to talk about Nemo's Cowboys manifesto. He had a Cowboys manifesto as to why he stopped rooting for the team. He was so fed up with Jerry Jones and the front office and, basically just the administration, the Cowboys brass is who he was pissed off at for, not making enough moves in the offseason, not drafting a running back, et cetera, et cetera. So he stopped being a Cowboys fan, was kind of, I don't want to say homeless, didn't have a team for a year there. I think he decided on the Falcons because he lives in Atlanta. But now he's back. Nemo is back. He's a Dallas Cowboys fan. Just when they thought you were out of it, the Cowboys pull you back in. Jerry Jones couldn't let his fan be led astray like that and start rooting for the Falcons. So, yeah, Nemo is back. We need to get him on a – we need to get a Nemo and the Clownfish going because I need him to talk me through this like it's like sports therapy because – in my own brain, I don't understand it. I'm a diehard Packer fan. I could never stop rooting for the team. I don't know what they would have to do to get me to stop rooting for them. But I don't know. I understand. He had plenty of viable reasons. But all it takes is one crash out going to the Cowboys, and he's all the way back. But this crash out happens to be one of the most talented receivers in the entire league. Back to my initial question. Are the Steelers tanking? I think they are because it's been so weird. They drafted Will Howard in the NFL draft, but it looks like they haven't really been making any moves at quarterback. Everyone's waiting on the Aaron Rodgers news to drop. I would say again, this news dropped. I feel like I mention this every show because somehow Aaron Rodgers is still a free agent, hasn't retired. We don't know what he's going to do, but the news was already reported like 3 months ago. Antonio Brown had it first. Aaron Rodgers is a Steeler. But if he's not a Steeler, I think the Steelers are tanking. It's unfortunate. They'll have, I guess, if there's no Rodgers, it'll be a QB comp between Will Howard and Mason Rudolph. Yikes. It seems like, the Steelers think maybe they need to go back to square one. I wouldn't say with DK Metcalf, you're gonna be in playoff contention. Depending on the quarterback, I don't know if Will Howard or Mason Rudolph for 16 games will get you to the playoffs. But I don't know. I kind of get the feeling they're tanking after trading away Pickens and not going after a quarterback. Maybe they're still going after Rodgers. We don't know. They probably are because they don't have the best of options. But I don't know. There's a little conspiracy here. Maybe they're trading away Pickens, not signing a quarterback, and a roll through the year with Rudolph and Howard so they can tank and fire Mike Tomlin. Yeah, I think they might be trying to fire Mike and start a new regime. And, you know, if they tank well enough, maybe they got a chance at one of these top five quarterbacks. I've heard it's a really good class. Only one off the top of my head I can think of is Arch Manning. I don't think Arch Manning will be a top five pick. Maybe he will. I haven't looked into the mock drafts yet, but I don't know. I guess he'll be pretty damn good on Texas this year with no Quinn Ewers there. So he'll have the job all to himself. But in summary, I don't know. Unless they get Rodgers, if they start the season out with Rudolph and Will Howard, they are 100% tanking. There's way better options. You can trade for a guy from Cleveland with that crowded quarterback room. You can trade for a Kirk Cousins. You know, you could have signed Russell Wilson or James Winston. There's so many things they could have done. They haven't done anything outside of drafting a Ohio State legend, Will Howard. But yeah, we'll see what happens with that. But crazy trade. I would literally pay money to see that first interaction between George Pickens and Jerry Jones. That's maybe the biggest disconnect in personalities ever. But I don't know. I think that would be cinema, just seeing the first conversation between those two guys. But yeah, I wonder if Mr. Pickens is happy being in Dallas. I don't know. Him and CeeDee Lamb, that's going to be a crazy duo. I think Pickens will fit in pretty nicely with the Cowboys culture, mainly because I think him and CD are going to be best friends. And, you know, Pickens, you know, maybe he won't be too thrilled about, I guess he would have been the number two receiver with DK Metcalf most likely. So I don't think he'll be thrilled about that, but Lamb is the perfect guy for him to kind of learn behind, who's got a lot more NFL success and a bit more experience as well. Enough on the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's a interesting team. So I'm going to talk about them for a while, but let's get into some hockey. No, I'm not going to talk about any of the games. You know, maybe I'll probably, there's a number of moments in the Goosebump Moments of the Week. That's my hockey talk. The 2 seconds I tee up each moment. But my hockey question is, who are the Mammoth? Well, the Mammoth are the new Utah Hockey Club mascots. Notice how I added an S to mascot there. They didn't add an S to Mammoth. My question here mainly is, why is it the Mammoth and not the Mammoths? I looked this up because maybe Mammoth is plural for mammoths. It's not. So I guess they're just the Utah Mammoth. It's just one mammoth versus an entire hockey team. Everyone's been having that 100 gorillas versus... not 100 gorillas. We would get fucked up. And there's a dollar for the F-bomb jar. I replenished it, but still don't have any singles. There's a post-it note. But what were we talking about? The Utah Mammoth. Yeah, 100 men versus one gorilla. Maybe that's their idea here. They think, one mammoth could beat an entire hockey team. I seriously doubt that, because someone would just, all they'd have to do is take off their skate and, you know, slit the mammoth's throat. Why am I getting so dark here? I don't know. I'm just trying to unveil a new Utah Hockey Club team name, the NHL's newest franchise. I guess they're not really an expansion. They moved from Arizona because the Coyotes were that bad. How crazy is that? That the Arizona Coyotes were so terrible at hockey that they had to move cities and change their name. They had to change their entire identity to try and get people to forget about that. But yeah, I don't hate the name the Mammoth. I'm just confused on why it's Mammoth and not Mammoths, because it's just one mammoth now. You want a couple mammoths? Like I said, with those skates that you're gonna attack the mammoths with, you might need more than one in order to get the W there. But yeah, shout out Utah. I'm even wearing a John Stockton jersey in honor of the Utah Mammoth. Guess where I got this jersey, guys? T Temu. I got it from Temu. Are you kidding me? This shit is clean. I asked my brother, I'm like, is this real? He's like, or I was like, does this look real? He's like, well, I don't see an NBA logo. Well, fuck. I don't care. That's another dollar for the F-bomb jar, aka a post-it note. I'll replenish at some point. But yeah, shout out John Stockton. Shout out Temu. I think the jersey's clean. I don't care that it's fake. It was literally free. Someone sent me a Temu link and I clicked on it and I ended up getting a free John Stockton jersey. So I'm not complaining here. But let's get back to football. Who cares about hockey? Just kidding. Poker Perry and Nemo. I'm getting into it. I don't know if I said this on the show yet, but I believe I'm not 100% there the way there yet, but maybe 95% of me knows that I'm going to become a Toronto Maple Leafs fan. These playoffs have been electric. It's really getting me interested in hockey. It seems like there's a game winner every other night. Although NBA playoffs has had that as well recently. Round two has been absolutely insane, but I want to keep talking football with my next question. Was it a football decision? I'll give you a quick, easy, definitive answer to that. No, it was not a football decision. And what decision am I speaking of? Of course, I'm speaking of the decision of the Baltimore Ravens to release their Hall of Fame kicker, Justin Tucker. I don't know. I don't think, how much does off the field stuff factor into the Hall of Fame vote? It's not like Barry Bonds, because that's on the field stuff when you're doing steroids. Tucker's probably still a Hall of Famer, but the Ravens are releasing Justin Tucker. Obviously, this is coming in the wake of what? 10, 15, 20, a Deshaun Watson amount worth of Baltimore massage parlors calling in complaints about Justin Tucker. Yeah, Tucker, I think Antonio Brown said it best when he said his new name is Justin Tugger, because he likes getting a rub and tug at the Deshaun Watson factory. But no, it was not a football decision. The Ravens released him after they did draft a kicker, Tyler Loop. The organization is continuing to insist it is a football decision. At first, I was kind of going to say, like, that's a cop-out. You know, it was obviously the allegations had something to do with his release. But it's not even a cop-out. It's just a bad look for the Ravens, because now you're like, the media's asking you, like, oh, so was it all the allegations? Is that why you released them? They're like, no, it's purely football. They're like, oh, so you don't mind that all of those nasty things happened with Tucker in a freaking massage parlor? No. We didn't care about that. He just had a bad year, so we needed a new kicker. Maybe they should have not said it was a football decision. Maybe they should have said there were a number of things that went into it. And ultimately, we made the football decision to cut him. It's a good football decision, I'll be honest. Tucker had the worst year of his career last year. And I don't know, I wouldn't personally draft a kicker, but any kicker good enough to be drafted is probably good enough to be a replacement for the kicker who was at a massage parlor. I don't know. I don't have anything. I'm running in circles. Don't even have a joke to say. So I'll just get to the next question. Is Michigan cheating again? Yes, I think they are. And I'll tell you why. Michigan has suspended their own coach, Sharon Moore, for 2 weeks for his involvement in the sign-stealing scandal. That's a tongue twister. In 2023. But the question isn't about Sharon Moore's sign stealing in 2023. I'm thinking they're still cheating this year. They're extending this cheating culture that ended up with them winning a national title and Jim Harbaugh being exiled, banished from college football just to, you know, ball out with the Chargers and make the playoffs year one. But no, they're cheating, and this is why. Sharon Moore's suspension, he's the head coach, his suspension will be served in week 3 and 4. And I think the stated reason for Michigan was, oh, we want Sharon to be able to coach against his alma mater, Oklahoma. Bullshit. That is not why you're serving the suspension in weeks 3 and 4. You're serving the suspension in weeks 3-4 because you're worried about Oklahoma. You don't want to, yes, of course you want to coach against your former alma mater. I don't think former is necessary in that phrase, but that's not why. It's not because it's a, oh, I'm the hometown kid. I want to, you know, see my family, go to the college. No. You're worried about Oklahoma, and you should be. They're a decent team. I think they kicked the shit out of Alabama last year, which isn't saying much because Bama didn't make the playoffs. What's up, Don? Hope you're watching. Shout out Don if he's watching. He Nostradamus'd the Bucs series and predicted their collapse. But I keep getting off track here. Yeah, Michigan's cheating. Sharon Moore should be suspended weeks 1 and 2, not weeks 3 and 4. Obviously, Michigan is the one who's suspending their own coach. This is all for PR. They wouldn't actually suspend him if they didn't have to, but they suspended him for the sign stealing in the hopes that the NCAA won't look more into it and suspend Sharon Moore even more games. But if you're going to suspend someone, you can't pick and choose when you're going to suspend. The suspension starts immediately. He should be out week 1. He should be out week 2. Oklahoma should have a chance to kick Michigan's ass with a backup coach, assistant coach, whatever. But Sharon Moore will be there against Oklahoma. He'll be suspended for week 3 and 4, where I assume they are playing some cupcakes. Last question of the day is, who's the coach? I've asked this question many times. I need to be more original here. I've literally asked this question probably 3 or 4 times, maybe 5. But who's the coach? It is not Greg Popovich. He has finally stepped down. He is no longer coaching, but he will transition to team president. So really happy for Popovich there. Obviously, with his health issues, he wasn't able to be a head coach in the NBA anymore, but I'm happy he's staying with the organization as an executive team president. He'll undoubtedly do great things for them there. But yeah, the GOAT, maybe the greatest coach of all time, definitely up there. I love the guy, and I was one of his bitter rivals when I was a Miami Heat fan back in that Heatles era with LeBron. But yeah, I respect the hell out of him, and wish him well. Mitch Johnson, the assistant coach, who was the interim coach this year, will be the Spurs' new coach. Congrats to him, and congrats to Tuomas Isalo. I think I maybe possibly said that right. The Grizzlies are hiring him. He was the interim coach this year, and he will be the official head coach starting, you know, last week or this week, whenever that was announced. Last bit of coaching news is the Dallas Mavericks fired their athletic performance director and their head athletic trainer. This is obviously coming a few months after the Luka Doncic trade, where one of the cited reasons for trading Doncic is, oh, his conditioning's bad. He's fat. You know, he eats too much, doesn't exercise enough. Well, now I'm starting to think maybe they set Luka up, because their performance director and head athletic trainer are both fired. So I'm putting the blame solely on them. If you noticed, maybe a week after he'd been in LA, Luka looked a little slimmer. I think that's probably, you know, LeBron maybe got him his nutritionist and his trainer and shit like that. But I'm starting to think we should fully be blaming the Mavericks for Luka's weight. It was the athletic performance director and the head athletic trainer's fault, not Luka's. Give him that beer, Nico. Give him that beer, Nico Harrison. Obviously he can't, because they're not on the same team anymore. Nico Harrison, you are my GOAT. I don't know if I'll be a Lakers fan once LeBron retires, but you give me the option to continue to root for a superstar with Luka Doncic, and for that I will be forever grateful. Let's get to first year interruption. I think I'm speeding and stumbling, and I don't know, I feel like I'm talking at 2x speed this podcast, probably because I'm not vaping. Usually I vape during the podcast. Good thing I don't anymore. I'm quitting. I should quit. I need to quit. So comment down below. Does anyone have any good tricks to quit smoking? I've heard nicotine patch, Zins. I don't know. What's like a psychotic way to quit vaping or smoking? Let me know, because I'd like to hear it. But let's get to first interruption. This week's first interruption, in honor of his illustrious coaching career, will be with Greg Popovich. I'm Googling the word illustrious to make sure I said it right. well-known, respected, and admired. Okay, yeah, I got that right. The illustrious career of Greg Popovich. He was known for kind of his, him and Belichick had a similar style where they don't really like talking to the media. They think it's dumb that it's required, even dumber that you have to do it mid-game. But I found a funny clip of Jeff Van Gundy interviewing Greg Popovich in the midst of a game. And it was just a funny interaction from Greg Popovich, who hates interviews. So here's first interruption with Mr. Greg Popovich. Happy travels, Greg.
Back in Dallas with the Spurs up 15.
Yes, sir.
I promise if you answer with more than seven words, there will only be one question.
I just want you to be happy, coach.
I am.
Is there a question yet?
Yeah, talk about Kawhi Leonard. How has he improved so dramatically from the first time he stepped foot in San Antonio to now?
Chip England and Chad Forcier.
Amen.
It's the truth.
Good luck.
No second. Give me a second.
No, I don't want to. No.
I want a second one.
You get Heather. Heather Cox took three in our last game. You only get one today. All right.
He only gave you four words. You let him off the hook. You told him seven.
Yeah.
He wanted a second question.
He did. I had nothing for him. You know, that's a harder job than, you know.
You think? That's why Doris, I let you do it.
No, Doris and Heather and Lisa make it look so easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It's very difficult.
Awesome interaction there between Popovich and Jeff Van Gundy. He said, if you answer in more than seven words, I won't ask you a second question. I think he said Chip England and Chad Forcier. That's five words. Those are two, I think, assistant coaches for the Spurs at the time. But yeah, Jeff, you got to have that second question ready when you said, if you answer in more than seven, I won't ask you a second question. Where was the second question? Popovich, who notoriously hates questions, doesn't want to talk. Why would he want to talk in the middle of a game? But yeah, just all class. I don't know if all class is the right way to describe Popovich, because he's rude to the media. He was known for that, but that's why people loved him. He was himself. He didn't bullshit anyone. And he didn't bullshit the media. Well, he definitely bullshitted the media. That's why the fans loved him, because they got to see him mess with the media, who can be a little annoying at times. But yeah, congratulations to Greg Popovich on such an illustrious career. Sucks that he can't really, he never really got a chance to coach with Wembanyama much, but hey, that's show business, I guess. But yeah, congrats to Greg Popovich. Thought he would retire, but yeah, he'll undoubtedly do a great job as the Spurs team president. Let's get to it. Hopefully my voice didn't change much, because these really are noise-canceling headphones. Thank you, Jonna. Jonna gave these to me. Why did you give me these? You didn't want these? These are kind of fire. But let's get into the goosebump moments of the week. This week we got some good ones, and that's why it's everyone's favorite moment of the week. But starting off at number 10, we have Miami Marlins. We have Kyle Stowers hitting a walk-off grand slam for the Marlins as they beat the Athletics to pull off a stunning comeback.
Looking for some magic in these new City Connects. Swinging a ball, lifted in the air, deep left center field! Stowers! No way! A walk-off grand slam! This kid is unconscious!
Number 9, Jacob Slavin hits the walk-off OT goal in Game 1 for the Hurricanes.
And they score! Jacob Slavin through a screen! Carolina wins Game 1 in overtime!
Number 8, Wyatt Johnston and the Dallas Stars pull off an incredible comeback in Game 7.
Down low, Johnston scores! Wyatt Johnston with 3:56 to go!
Number 7, Mr. Clutch, Jalen Brunson hits the Game 6 winner to send the Pistons packing.
For the dime, launches! Oh yeah! Jalen Brunson buries it!
Number 6, Sovereignty wins the Kentucky Derby by beating out the favorite, Journalism. What a race.
Baez's third, but it will be Sovereignty to rule the Kentucky Derby! Journalism in by Hazelbernecks. Final Gambit was fourth. The final time was 202.31.
Number five, Tyrese Haliburton hits the winning three with 1 second left to cap off an insane comeback. Man, I hate the Pacers.
Timeout. Carlisle's going to let him play. Haliburton steps back and hits. Tyrese Haliburton trying to take Cleveland's heart. The wow. Indiana Pacers in a game two.
Number four, Mikal Bridges with a game-winning steal in game one.
It's off to Brown. Bridges there. They hold it. They grapple. It's over. The Knicks have won. What a comeback and a game one win for New York.
Number three, Mikal Bridges with a game-winning block. Deja vu, Mikal Bridges again.
Tatum maneuvering. Oh, the ball knocked away. Another great defensive play for the Knicks. They've got it. They've won it. New York has gone up 2-0. And defense again.
Number two, Adam Lowry hits the game seven game winner for Winnipeg.
Hard pass down low. Potter. Back up the boards for Peon. Peon shoots. Score! The Jets win it! On the deflection! The Winnipeg Jets will move on to face the Dallas Stars.
Number one moment of the week, Cole Perfetti scores an unbelievable goal at the horn to force OT in game seven.
Ehlers feigned on it.
What?
Three. Ehlers cross ice. Score! Score! Perfetti with under 2 seconds.
Unbelievable. That moment right there is one of the reasons I'm getting into hockey. That's one of the craziest goals I've seen. You know, some may say the game seven winner in double overtime should have been number one moment of the week, but that goal was crazier in my mind. I even called Nemo to confirm, you know, is it okay if I put that one ahead of it? He's like, that makes total sense. With 1 second left, your playoff life on the line, you score a goal to force overtime. Stuff like that, I can understand why folks love hockey so much. But yeah, love to see the New York Knicks go up 2-0. Mikal Bridges, dude. Deja vu there. Game-winning steal, game-winning block, back-to-back game-winning walk-off, really. Defensive plays from Mikal Bridges. I love doing his celebration. I don't know if that's a gun or if it means three or what, but it's fun to do. And he's fun to watch, man. He really turned it on in the fourth quarter in game two. And I'm hoping they keep it rolling. Speaking of keeping it rolling, let's get to my cheaters semis picks. I've been doing a lot of cheaters picks recently because I'm not timing up the podcast well. I can do a better job of that. I'm using my new job as an excuse. But, you know, there's a lot of hours in the day. I sleep for probably less than 8 hours, but most people, if they sleep 8 hours, you have 16 hours. I got plenty of time to do this podcast. I just need to lock the F in. F-bomb jar, you're going to stay that way. But let's do it. Let's do the cheaters, semis, picks. First off, let's start with the most intriguing series with the Celtics down 2-0 in my book. I'm going to go Knicks in seven over the Celtics. I think the Celtics will bounce back. They're going to take at least one on the road. Obviously, if they go down 3-1, I mean, that's only happened twice in history, so it's probably over then. But I'm not going to put it past them to win the next two in New York. They're going to be pissed off, chip on their shoulder. It's going to be loud, but you look at game one and two, those were ass kickings until the fourth quarter. They were up 20 points in each of those games, so all they got to do is go up 20 points a game and not blow the lead. So I think they'll do that. I think it will go the distance, but I'm taking the Knicks in seven. It's a biased pick just because I'm hating on Nemo Celtics. No one likes the Celtics, so most people are rooting against them. I was hype seeing Mikal Bridges with that game winner, but yeah. Sorry for burping in the mic, but yeah, give me the Knicks in seven. In the Cavs-Pacers series, Similar story. The one seed is 0-2 in this series. Pacers up 2-0 after that Haliburton game winner. Somehow the Pacers did it again with 10 seconds, or not 10, but a minute to go. They're up 7, and somehow they come back and pull off an incredible, incredible comeback. Tyrese Haliburton misses his own free throw, gets it, hits the game winner. That's all she wrote. So Pacers are looking damn good, but I don't know. I don't know if Mobley or Garland are going to be back. That's huge, that injury. Garland hasn't played in the series yet. Mobley didn't play game two. Those are obviously two all-stars. That's going to really affect the series hugely. But I expect to see both of them back at some point this series. Hopefully one of them back for game three. But I don't know. I took the Cavs minus 8.5 against the Pacers without Mobley, without Garland, without DeAndre Hunter. That was a stupid decision. They were still 8.5-point favorites without those three guys who are all great players. But yeah, I bet on them anyways. And they almost covered. The Pacers, you know, they were down 9 with 2 minutes to go. So it was close. But you know what? Give me the Cavs in 6. That's right. I think the Cavs win the next 4 games in a row. Yeah, give me the Cavs. In Nuggets Thunder, here's another biased pick for you. I'll give you the Nuggets in 7. If you can read this blurry, out-of-focus whiteboard somewhere that I'm pointing, you'll see a Nuggets plus 1,600 ticket, hoping to win 800 bones. So I'll go with the biased pick, Nuggets in 7. Thunder beat them by like 50 yesterday, so they really kicked their ass. But, oh my goodness, I forgot to put the Aaron Gordon game winner in here, guys. Damn it. Oh my goodness. Oh, that's embarrassing, guys. Aaron Gordon hit a game winner game one against the Thunder. That's a shoe-in for Goosebump Moments of the Week. That would have knocked out the walk-off Grand Slam. I'm sorry, Aaron Gordon. It was only, you know, 3 with 5 seconds left, so maybe not the coolest shot, but it would have been in the top 10. My apologies, Aaron Gordon. But I'll take Nuggets in 7. Hopefully that will make up for it. Maybe I'll put it next week, but I don't know. Go. If you haven't seen it, I didn't have it in this podcast, go look up Aaron Gordon's game winner against the Thunder. It was electric, assisted by Russell Westbrook. Aaron Gordon's second game winner in the playoffs, kind of like Mikal Bridges with 2 game-winning defensive plays, but on the offensive end. But yeah, give me the Nuggets in 7, despite the fact that they got their ass kicked. Speaking of ass kickings, Wolves got their ass kicked in game 1. Game 2 is tonight. Steph Curry is out. Wolves are going to decimate them. Maybe not decimate. They're going to win that game, though, with no Steph Curry. But I don't know. I like the Wolves in 7 here. I think, I don't know. I love the Wolves. I would love for the Nuggets to win the NBA Finals. After that performance against the Thunder, it's not looking all too likely. Wolves, if I were to do a cheaters NBA Finals pick, I might go Wolves over it. Shit, I don't even know what's going to happen in the East. Maybe Wolves over Cavs. That'd be the Midwestern subway series. Not really that close at all. That's probably a 10-hour drive. But yeah, whatever. Give me Wolves in 7. You know, we know it's either Jimmy Butler or Ant-Man. But when the Wolves win this series in 7, I think it will prove that it is Anthony Edwards, not Jimmy Butler, who is truly Michael Jordan's son.